We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 21. Tremendous testimony. You're going to need to borrow a pen if you don't have one, because there are so many truths locked up in here. And we're going to hit several of these highlights. Then Jesus again said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. And then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, here's one to underline. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's one you want to circle. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, well, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, he's talking about the crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, highly accountable to God the Father, as we should be one to another. But as my Father has taught me, and you want to triple underline that because you want to be one that says, God taught me the way I live. I speak these things. As my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, nor will he ever leave you alone. For I do always those things that please him. I do those things that please him. Terry Mulville was a very unassuming, meek-mannered, quiet, gentle, humble, completely opposite to me. He was a godly, spiritual man. He was just the sweetest, lovingest guy. And his wife, Marlo, who was one of my very early secretaries, handles basically all the email of Bill Ford from the Ford family that runs Ford Motor Company. And he was in a board meeting, and the secretary or somebody mentioned about Terry that his cancer was taking him down. He had a few days. And he interrupted that board meeting and said, then we got to take care of them, and ordered that meals would be sent to the Mulville house. And I was thinking of this guy. If anybody could stand up and say, I only do those things that the Lord has given me or the Lord has told me, Terry Mulville would be one of those guys. And if you think the owner of Ford would stand up for you and say, this man needs some help and some love. It was the simplicity of this man's life that was so profound. I think we mentioned this yesterday in his eulogy of how he was just so simple and down to earth. But it was all about Jesus. Now, Jesus is all about Jesus. He's not about religion whatsoever. He's about his Father. I want you to notice how humble he was in the fact that he wasn't saying, okay, I'm Jesus, and this is it. He's just saying, I'm doing what my Father sent me to do. I've humbled myself in front of my Father. I'm only telling you things I've heard from my Father, because the Father knows all about you. I'm here to represent the Father. So I speak as my Father taught me, and that he that sent me is with me. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Just when the truth comes forward, it is powerful enough to open up a person's heart that they would give themselves to him. You know, it was Dennis. It wasn't Terry. But Dennis was picked up by a hitchhiker. And Dennis was one of the brothers. And he was led to the Lord by the man that picked him up hitchhiking. And the man that told him what to do said, you need to go over to the theater on 29th and University, 30th and University, and you just need to go there. And he got on fire, and the man told him that your whole family will be saved. And one by one, when Dennis came, the rest of the family started accepting Jesus. And as they came from around the country to come to San Diego on vacation, they'd come to the church, and they would give their hearts to Jesus. You know, when you hear the truth, there's no reason why you want to run from the truth. You want to let the truth speak. And as Jesus is speaking, notice it's the people on the sidelines that are watching the dialogue. Many believed on him simply by the words that he spoke. It wasn't a service that they're in. They just listened and looked at him and said, this is the one. And so they believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Please underline this and memorize this the rest of your life. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Memorize that verse. Because you could say I'm a Christian and you don't continue in his word, you're not his disciple. The word disciple means discipline, a disciplined one, a follower of, but a disciplined follower of. If you don't know his word, to know about him is not the same as knowing him. So he said, if you continue, you don't walk away, but you continue. That's why a daily devotion, if not a daily Bible study, is so important for us, because we learn his word, and that day what he gives us could be just the thing that keeps us going, could spare us a lot of pain and suffering, because we'll go back to his word. If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciple indeed. I want to encourage you, continue in the words of Jesus Christ. Let those words be underlined in the heart of your soul, that you go by what Jesus goes by. You live by his creed, his motto. You love people as he loved people. You care for people. Yes, you live your life. You are on planet Earth. You are a human being. But if you will continue in his word, you'll just get to the end without any problems. You'll make it all the way. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then. It's that continuing in his word that then starts. And here's the biggie. And you shall know the truth. And would you read these words out loud with me? And the truth. Now I'll read it all together, that whole verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. It's the truth that will bring you freedom. Freedom is not free. Any of you that are in the military, even the spouses and child of somebody in the military, knows that freedom isn't free. Not that you may lose someone because of a combat situation, but you lose someone because of the Westpac tour, 6 months of your life separated from the person you love. Freedom is not free. And it was God himself that came up with the concept of freedom. But to have freedom, there must first be bondage. And many people are in bondage, not in a prison cell as a POW or a prisoner of war, but they're in bondage to what's on their screen of their computer. They're in bondage of what's in their video cassettes or their DVD. They're in bondage to the people they hang out with, the things that they talk about, the things that they do. They're in bondage to their emotions and their feelings. They're in bondage to their lusts and to their pride. To have freedom, there must first be bondage. And when you stop and think of this, probably you would say, well, the largest bondage and freedom picture of the Bible would be Pharaoh in Egypt holding the Jews for 480 years in bondage. And a savior and a deliverer and a leader named Moses came up and brought freedom to those people and led them for 40 years to the promised land. Now, I think we can go back a little bit further. And I think we can see the bigger picture. You see, that is a great story of the release of the Jews. That is tremendous stories of God working miracles. The overall picture is freedom will come when there is bondage. But there is no freedom unless there is bondage. So if you get yourself trapped in the Pharaoh of this world, Satan himself, holds on to you and makes you be a slave to sin, God has sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to shed his blood for you to set you free from this bondage. But what would you say is the greatest bondage in your life today? What would you say is the greatest bondage in the life of, let's say, the person you love the most? What would you say is the greatest bondage for the city of San Diego and the city of San Francisco? What would you say is the greatest bondage for the United States of America and the entire planet? You know what it is? It's the same thing. Sin. Death. We're all going to die. You know, we weren't designed to die. We were designed to live. When Adam was created, And God put him to sleep and brought Eve out of his side by taking a bone of his rib and forming her out of his DNA and his gene pool. And she became Eve, the mother of all living. They had bliss. They had harmony. They had everything. There were no mosquitoes. There were no flies. There was nothing, anything negative at all. It was the Garden of Eden. Everything was beautiful. The planet was theirs. God tells us later in the Bible that all things were made and created for our good pleasure. But is the world really for our good pleasure? No. It's all rules and regulations that we have to come in bondage to. They're the do's and the don'ts that bring us into bondage. There weren't any don'ts except for one don't out of all God's vocabulary. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree there in the middle of the garden. In the day that you do, surely you shall die. Huh? What does he mean? Surely we'll die. You see, they knew that they were alive. They knew the concept of life. They didn't even know what death was. God introduced death. To understand God, you have to understand contrast. Because he is so loving, he does not want you to be a slave to him. He wants you to choose by your own free will and your own decision to follow him and to love him. It was in him when he made this man, he knew there would be death. He saw the outcome of everything. He's the great I am. He's the beginning and the end of everything. He could see where this thing would end up, but he wanted to give us a chance. You see, to have everything and be discontent is not unnatural to a human being, is it? Because some of you and some of your friends have sat on top of the world and through a divorce or through a failure of morals or something, they went all the way down. We in our own city have had great people make it in politics, make it in business, and sitting on top of the world with all the power and all the fame and all the spotlights and cameras upon them. And a year later, they're in prison. You lose it all. Tremendous contrast. The biggest bondage is death. And the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. What do you think it was that if you think in your life that if I could just have a little bit more money, I'd be happier? If I could just get that woman to date me, I'd be really happy. If I could make the team, boy, I'd be on top of the world. You see, no matter what we get, if God's not involved in it, we're going to be in bondage to it. You see, the concept of death, they didn't understand it. But when the devil came, he did exactly what the gospel, 1 John says from the Apostle John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when Satan came to Eve, he pulled that trick on her. Look at that fruit. First, he challenged God. Hath God truly said? Yes, he did say. You shall not eat of this. And what happens? If you'll eat this, it is pleasant to the taste. It is pleasant to look upon. And when you finish it, you'll be wise and be like God. So lusted with the eyes. And that's where you got to watch yourself. If you look at it and lust at it, then the flesh will start lusting after it. And then the wisdom, if I could just have this, it will fulfill all my needs. It'll make me happy, but it'll kill you. The biggest bondage we all face today. You know, life is lived on so many different levels, each human being having a different point of view from one another. One thing we do know is that we have a common denominator on this planet, no matter what color our skin is, no matter what language our tongue spews out, or what our place of origin is. We're all in this together. We're going to die. Some people miss living because they're afraid of dying. You know people like that. Some people are alcoholics simply because you get to the room. I'm afraid to die. Well, why? And you talk to them. Well, you see, when I was a little girl, my mother and father were killed in an auto accident. I don't want to face death. And so they run their life away from life, trying to get away from death. And you can't get away from death. You can clone as many people as you want, but those of us that are real people, you cannot get away from death. You just can't. Some people miss living because of their fear of death. Others miss life by holding so tightly on to their position in life that they never, ever grow beyond where they are. Someone wisely said, do not be irreplaceable. If you cannot be replaced, you cannot be promoted. And there are some people, this is my little kingdom, this is my little world, this is my little corner, this is my little cubicle. And you think, well, I can't replace him. You want to be replaceable. So they can bring somebody in and give you a raise. Some people live their lives trying to gain every penny and every material possession that they can grab a hold of. Some people think that I'll go to school, I'll get my bachelor's, I'll get my MBA, I'll go out in the business world, I'll get my law degree, I'll be the CEO of this, I'll get a desk and a title and my own parking space, and I'll have a window in my office. And you think of all these little silly things that people think give them status. And they hold on so tightly that they miss their spouses, they miss their kids, they miss their cousins and their nieces and their aunts and their uncles and their grandparents, and they miss those holidays together, and they miss sitting around the table and laughing over a piece of turkey. They miss opening up the gift. They go shopping at the last minute because their life is wound so tight. They're holding on to so much. People aren't what life is about to these kind of people. Things are. You've all heard the story of the guy that was so greedy and such a miser. He had so much. He told his wife, and he was so mean to his wife, and he had millions. He said, I want you to guarantee me that when I die, you'll put all of my money in the coffin with me. All of it. I want a large coffin. I want all the money right there in that coffin. I said, yes, dear. So the day came that he died. It was an open coffin. And as everybody was leaving the room, as they were going out to the graveside, the wife walked up with a manila envelope and placed it on the man's chest. And as she was walking out, her best friend said, what are you doing? He told you to fill up his casket with all of his money, put all of his wealth in there. She said, well, I did. But you just put an envelope there. Yeah, I wrote him a check. Don't hold on. It's the people that are sitting next to you probably that are the most important in your life. You need to realize that. It's the people you go out and play volleyball with. It's the people you catch the wave with. It's the people you ride your bikes with. It's the people you go hiking with. It's the people you go fishing with. It's the people you go jogging with. It's the people you work with. It's not about a few moments that everything's good and the rest of the day you're just uptight and pushing and shoving. And then all of a sudden, okay, now I'm happy. No, it's all day like that. Filled with the grace of God. So he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage. We're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? Now that's a lie. They were in bondage. They've been taken prisoners by Nebuchadnezzar, by Pharaoh, many, many battles therein. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. So he'll get rid of that sin. Now, circle this. This is the third major one for you to remember. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, on the other hand, there are people that are extremely myopic. They're just very narrow-minded. Their view of life in general is just very small. Everything orbits around them. It may be where they are geographically, could be their pride, could be their culture, their upbringing. But these people, though seemingly shallow, still know that life and death are real. And I want to ask you before we go home this morning, what are your feelings about death? Do you run from it? Are you afraid of it? I can tell you this, is one issue we all have in common. We all face the quote-unquote inevitable. Statistics tell us that 1,000 people out of every 1,000 die. We all die. There's no way around it. Now, death brings fear because it's unknown. And when you get to the end of your life and you've gone too far that you've crossed a line, you may have something to fear. Because that which you've resisted all your life, you're going to see face to face very soon. The God who made you, the God who always loved you, and gave you a zillion opportunities to take care of this issue. It's not an issue of let's be religious and build a temple. It's not an issue of, well, let's get a lot of gold and silver and stained glass windows and let's be fancy dance and just have the coolest religion around. No, it's just about you. The whole issue is about you. Man has done all that. It's about you living forever. That's what it's about. Now, this body can't live forever. So therefore, in 1 Corinthians 15, we are told that there's a body that is made of the elements of the heaven. Paul the Apostle said there is body terrestrial and body celestial. The word terrestrial literally means made up of the elements of the earth. This body that all of us have is made up of the same exact elements of clay, of dirt, the same elements. He made Adam out of the clay, out of the dirt. You are dirt. That's it. You're just clay. And when it's over with, it all disintegrates and it goes back to dirt. So you think you're cool? Come on. There must be more to it than that. Celestial comes from the word that means made up of the elements of the heavens. There is a body for you that the moment you leave this body, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and your spirit comes out of this old clay pot, it goes into a new body that'll never feel pain. It'll never, ever disintegrate. It'll not get wrinkles. It will not fall apart. There'll be no bursitis. There'll be no arthritis. There'll be no pain whatsoever. It'll never die, and it'll be filled with eternal power of happiness and joy. It's waiting for you. It's yours. Now, I see that about a third of you applauded to that. The other third is saying, I haven't had my coffee yet. I don't know what you're talking about. Another third is saying, I don't know. I really like this world. I love the smell of the onions and the leeks and the garlic. These things of the world, they just feel good, taste good, look good, make me feel good. But I'll tell you what, young or old, when your time is up, it's up. And the chances are all gone. But when you leave this body so quickly that the closest they can get to the definition of twinkle is 1/1 trillionth of a second, and you're presented a new body. If I were to say, listen, over at Nordstrom's, you can go into Nordstrom's now, ladies and gentlemen. You can have the most expensive suit you want for free. You can have the most expensive dress you want for free. For the rest of your life, you can go in and take them off the rack and nobody will stop you. Forever. Till the day you die. Now, I doubt very much that there'd be anybody here that didn't go get a new set of clothing, the most expensive. But you see, what the church misses, myself also as a minister of the church, is we forget to make it so simple that all this is about is you getting a free suit. You got a new body waiting for you. And all we have to do is point you the direction where you go to get this. And you can't get there in this body. It's going to be down the line either this afternoon or 100 years from now. We know that we'll all have these new suits on. And then to show you how to get there, the church is not the way to get there. The preacher, the evangelist, the pastor is not the way to get there. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And the church's responsibility, the minister's responsibility, the preacher, the pastor, the priest's responsibility is to point the direction to him as he said, I only tell you the things the Father has shown me. It's that simple. The whole situation is about you living forever. Forever! At no cost. Whoops, there was a cost. Freedom is not free. God so loved the world, he paid the price. He gave his only begotten Son. Tremendous cost. God had to feel all the anguish and pain that you have felt as his creatures. And his Son had to take all the sin and the wrongdoing upon himself. But if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Religion can free you for a moment. If you've got a bad back, a massage or a chiropractor may release some things for a little while. But it's not indeed the true healing. It's not the thing that'll take you on forever. Only Jesus Christ can do that. In verse 21, it's something to note for all of us. The two groups of people inhabit our planet. People that are from below and people that are from above. In verses 24 to 27, these are very religious, intellectual, religious leaders. And they don't understand the things that you understand. Oh, we don't understand what you're talking about. But every one of you here know what he's talking about. These were the leaders of the known Middle East at the time. How often God has something to say to you and me, and we just don't listen. We don't hear. And it's really because we take who we are and we supersede what is coming towards us, and that blocks out everything because we think we know it all. And we can learn from everyone. In verses 28 to 30, we saw that spiritual people hear the voice of God because so many believe just by hearing his words. And if you want to find God, we learn in this that he's willing to meet you. God's willing to meet you. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. God wants to meet you. He wants to just take away the fear of death. In verse 31, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's a big if. If you continue in my word. That's a very big if to take note of. It's actually a key to get into heaven. And if I were to hand you the code to the Wells Fargo Bank on Balboa Avenue to get in through the security, and then the combination to the safe, and you go into the safe, and you could take everything out if you could get through those two things and legally have it, I know that you'd all line up to get that code and key. This is a key to eternal life right here. If you continue in my word, it takes just a few moments to bow your heart and say, God, speak to me through your word. Open up your Bible and you look at it. He talks, you say, oh, okay. Next time you look at that same thing, whoa, I never noticed that before. But you continue in the words of Jesus Christ and you're going to find eternal life. In verse 32, we're remembered that freedom does come at a price. Sacrifice brought freedom to each of us. People died. There was a lot of death on the soil of America. There was death when the revolution came and we freed ourselves from those that had us in bondage. There was death when there was a great civil war and brothers fought brothers and uncles fought nephews and grandfathers fought sons and grandsons. There was a price for the freedom of America and to rid the world of slavery. There was a tremendous price. Modern society is filled with the doctrine, if it feels good, do it. If you like it, then it's okay. But all you have to do is stand in line at any supermarket waiting to check out your goods and see how messed up all those people that live by that doctrine are. How many of those stars and superstars go through divorces and have horrible things going on in their lives and tragedies and pain. And it looks like, oh, look, I wish I could be like them. They're some of the most miserable people in the world. And that's why they're miserable. Because they're paid so much money to do things that they know inside, that they are endorsing on the big screen or on that CD or on that DVD or on that new album, that are so opposite from God's kingdom. But because of the perks, the devil gets them to believe, this is worth selling my soul for. Don't sell your soul for anything but the love of God. There's hope for you today. Death is real. We're all going to face it. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and it's the truth that shall make you free. If you need freedom from smoking cigarettes, you need freedom from pornography, you need freedom from being a liar, those things are all real, but the greatest thing you need freedom from is death. Now, this is interesting. When you find that freedom that you know you're never going to die, the rest of the things fall away because those are only things that hang you up to keep you from facing reality in your head. They're just wasting time, biding time. And the devil is so good at getting people to waste their time. When you are willing to say, I surrender, then the king can step in and do what is great. What is the greatest truth you need to know? He says, you'll know the truth will make you free. What is the greatest truth? Think it through. This is got to be a fact. There is a greatest truth. But why isn't the greatest truth taught in preschool, kindergarten, elementary school, junior high school, and high school, college, graduate school, in all the great universities of the world? Why have we never had a teacher stand up and say, you know, students, we're all going to die. But let's get this out of the way. You can have a great life between now and that time. And after that time, you can still be alive. So we're going to talk about that. And this is Living and Dying 101. And then we'll go on with life. No. The devil doesn't want you to know that you're going to live forever. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can get through all of this. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants something called religion. And religion brings us into bondage. He doesn't want to introduce you to a person, the person that he rebelled against and split the kingdom over. No. He wants you to think this is a real world going on around you. And you do what these people do, these trendsetters, and you're going to be cool. I'll tell you what, you won't be cool enough when it's over with. You need help. The biggest need you have today, the greatest truth that will make you free, if you die, you're gone forever. It's how do we stay alive? That's the truth. How can I go on and make something? How can I live forever? Would a God that created me be so cruel that he would let me live a certain number of years and then I would be annihilated and there'd be no memory or anything? Every one of us in this room No matter how deep the pain has been or the problems have been, you have to admit, it's cool to be alive. I groove on it myself. I like being alive, don't you? I do. I dig it. I've always liked it since I was a little boy. Ah, sunshine. Ah, a dog. Ah, a cat. Get that cat out of here. Ah, flowers. Ah, ocean, water. Touch, feel, taste. Ah. But as you get a little older and a little freer, then the man starts coming into your life and bringing you the stuff, and you get messed up. And you knew about love because kids naturally love. And it was like when you got to that teenage thing, the hormones changed. Love became touch and feel. And then the real thing of life became very confused. I feel so sorry for the kids of the day. They're growing up so fast. They're seeing things on television in their video games that some of us never saw till we're in our 20s or in the army. Unbelievable what they have to put up with. The devil hates you. He hates your kids. He hates your little brothers and sisters. He hates your parents. He hates your grandparents. He hates everything about you. And he's going to bring you into bondage. And he's going to work you and manipulate you and choke you out until you bow your knee to him and say, yes, I will be your slave until the day I die. Jesus comes along and said, stand up. I'm your big brother. And I'm going to die for you. You're free. You get home to dad. I'll take care of this dude, all right? Nothing like having a big brother come and meet that town bully. You get on home to father. I'm taking care of this guy. Thank you very much, Jesus. You can take him. How to stay alive has to be the greatest truth. This is to be the truth of all truths we all need to hear. So let's close with this. If you would just for 3 minutes, maybe two, I want to read something to you. And if you will just look at this and underline it, and maybe later in the day after the game or whenever you'll read it to yourself or during the week, I want you to look at something. You'll know what to underline very easily. Chapter 5, the book of Genesis, the very beginning. Look what it says. Verse 8. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years. Would you read those three words? And he died. Look at verse 11. All the days of Enos were 905 years. Would you read it? And he died. Verse 14. All the days of Canaan were 910 years. Read it. And he died. Verse 17. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Look at verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, the oldest man to ever live. And he died. Look at verse 31. Noah lived 500 years, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And excuse me, just before that, verse 31, Lamech, he's talking about his sons, and he died. You go through the Bible, and he died is after everybody. Nobody's escaping it. In Genesis 7:21, it says that all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle and beast and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth and every man. They all died. In Genesis 32, the love of his life, Abraham's sweet Sarah, it says, and Sarah died. In Deuteronomy 31:14, the Lord said unto Moses, behold, your days approach that you must die. In 2 Kings 10, 20, verse 1, Isaiah said to Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Jeremiah warned Hananiah, this year you shall die. These great kings die. When Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he said, the beggar died, and then the rich man died also. I love it that he said also, because you think just poor people die, not rich people. No. Everybody dies. You see, in Hebrews 2, verse 15, it says, who through the fear of death, speaking of us, inhabitants of the earth, through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Freedom is not free at all. Someone has to die so others can be free. Jesus Christ paid the price of freedom for you and me. He shed his sinless blood so that the chains of sin and death and this bondage of fear of death could be wiped away. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They all died. They'll all continue dying, but you're going to live. It'll make you free. The thing you need to be the freest of is death. The rest of it falls in line because you're so grateful that you're not going to die. In conclusion, it appears that the greatest freedom which you and I today receive is the freedom from death. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if you eat of that knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. We've done that. We have sinned against God. However, in 1 Corinthians, we are told in chapter 15, verse 26, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. The last enemy. Your enemy has held you in bondage, and Jesus is going to destroy that. St. Paul said in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, Son shall set you free, of the children of God. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus stands up after he resurrects from the dead and he says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And by the way, I have the keys of hell and death. He's in control. The demon that held the key over death, that took all the people when they died into hell to be judged, he lost the keys and Jesus holds them. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be imprisoned. You don't have to die. Jesus Christ has paid the price. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you're free indeed. Completely free. You're home free. You can start heading for heaven. Don't get hung up on the things of this world. Don't even turn around and look back like you told Lot's wife. Just let your big brother get underneath the street lamp there and be the contender for you. Let him knock the lights out of old Satan and you enjoy being alive. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? We can't thank you enough, Lord Jesus Christ, for the tremendous price you paid. And what a common denominator you've laid out before us all. If we obey, we live. If we disobey, we die. But since it's in our nature to be disobedient, we've all tasted of the fruit we weren't supposed to eat of. We're all destined to die. But thank God through Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that love the Lord, that are called according to his will and purpose. As many as are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the children of God. And Lord, today you have told us, if we'll continue in your word, we're your disciples indeed. Your word is what will lead us. That will allow us to be your children. And Father, for those that are off the narrow path because the light of your word has not shown them the way to go, may you forgive them today. May you be a good shepherd and reach over the side of the cliff and grab that little ewe that is there, that little lamb that is there, and pick them up and bring them back to safety. For those, Lord, that have wandered off and a wolf has captured them and thrown him in his cave till he can devour them later, we're asking for these dear, sweet women and men that you would bring them back to your flock. We beg you, dear God, for all those that know that death is in front of them, that fear death, that you would release them this very instant. God, we have nothing to fear. You are God of the living, not the God of the dead. All through the Bible it says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That tells us they are alive. We thank you that we can know this truth, and this truth can set us free. And we're truly free indeed, because we fear not the bondage of death. We will live our lives as disciples according to his word, Father. And may you bless us to have the strength to do that. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today. Would you be honest with God? Would you be honest with yourself? Would you admit that you are among the living dead, but you don't want to be? You don't want to fear death. You don't want to die in your sins. If you'll just ask God right now to forgive you, he'll do it. Just say, Father, I am sorry. I ask your forgiveness. I admit I have sinned and disobeyed. I've lived for myself. I surrender myself into your hands. And I believe that Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross for me. and that you raised him from the dead. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart this day, to be my Lord and Savior, and to give me the freedom from death. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's eternal power. In Jesus' name I pray. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, those of you that prayed that prayer, I want to remember you this afternoon. Would you raise your hands up and look at me? I'd like to see you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you way in the top. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. You. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Way back up there. Yes, sir. Right over here. Yes. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Right in the middle there. I see you. God bless you. It's freedom. Free indeed. He set you free just with a little bit of truth, just by hearing his words. Just take him home with you and then let him take you home with him. Don't ever fear this issue of death again from this day forward. He's won the battle. With outstretched arms, he willingly was crucified for you. He tasted of death so that you would never taste it. He went into the cold, dark tomb so you will never go into a cold, dark tomb. And God miraculously, by his power, raised him from the dead. And the great news is because he lives, we live too. Lord, you've seen these many, many hands go up, many, many hearts, like the people standing listening. They believe just on his words. May you honor these boys and girls and these men and women today. May they just feel a ton of weight lifted from them. May they just breathe deeply when they step out into the sunshine. Just say, hallelujah, I'm saved. I found the truth and it set me free. May you bless these sweet, sweet people in Jesus' precious name. Amen.